Back in the year 2000, my life was in shambles. Left to my own devices, I was a lost soul, living in the world and also being of the world. And in October of that same year, I received a call from my best friend from high school. He and his wife had just welcomed their third child. They asked me if I would be the godfather to their newborn son. And although I was honored to be asked, I respectfully declined, citing the fact that I wasn't currently a practicing Catholic. Now, the reason I called it practicing Catholic is because seemingly I was always practicing, but I never got very good at it. So I told him that out of respect to the Roman Catholic Church and its members, and my family as well, that I thought that they should ask someone else, perhaps a member of his church or someone from his own family. And that first conversation ended with each of us telling the other to consider what was being asked. A few days later, he called back, insisting that they really wanted me to be their son's godfather. And although I didn't realize it then, in that moment, the Holy Spirit began the restorative work on my lost soul. I agreed to their request and began attending church weekly from that time on, pretending to be seeking God. Fast forward 10 months to July of 2001. I began dating the love of my life, sweet Robeth. So, full disclosure, I didn't just wake up one day and say to myself, you should go to Bethel Lutheran Church. I came to this church because that's where Robeth attended. And actually, I'm just so thankful that she wasn't going to the Universal Unitarian Church, because I probably would have followed her there. Again, I didn't know it then, but the Holy Spirit was working in my life and moving in my heart to draw me to the place where Jesus knew that I needed to be. So, one Sunday I was asked, do you know Jesus? And my initial response was, of course I know Jesus. You know, I had an older brother who had a lot of different sayings, many of which, and as I think about it, most of them I can't really repeat. But one I can share is this. Not only does that guy not know the answer, he doesn't even know what the question is. I was that guy. At that point in my life, I didn't know. I didn't understand what it truly meant to know Jesus. Yeah, sure, I knew the history. He lived. He performed miracles. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. But I didn't know him personally. I didn't know or understand what he did for me and how he cared for me and loved me. All of this while I was his enemy. I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, but I'm going to paraphrase this verse to make it personal to me. For while I was his enemy, I was reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that I was reconciled, shall I be saved by his life. The non-believer has absolutely no role in his or her salvation. Our salvation is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you are dead in the trespasses and sins. Later in that same chapter, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The role of the believer is to encourage the non-believer to seek to know Jesus through his word along with prayer. And that's what Robeth and others in this church were doing. They were encouraging me to seek Jesus in his word. And I was told that a good place to start my quest to truly know Jesus was in John's gospel. In it, Jesus himself says who he is, using several I am statements. And this morning, I want us to hear and understand the power and authority of I am, capital A, capital M. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. According to Scripture, Jesus has been there since the beginning. From Revelation 22:13, this is Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Earlier in the service, Colby shared a scripture reading from Exodus chapter 3. And in this passage, this is Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. And first, God tells Moses that he, God that is present in the burning bush. And Moses needs to remove his sandals because he's standing on holy ground. Then God tells Moses that he has seen the affliction of his chosen people and has heard their cries for deliverance from captivity. And God instructs Moses to bring his people out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. It's at this point that Moses asks God, who shall I tell the people has sent me? Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am, all capital letters. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So for the remainder of this message, I want all of us to understand that Jesus is speaking with authority from God, with the authority of God, because he is God. So this first I am statement comes from John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. And Jesus made this first I am statement the day after his miracle of feeding 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Those that were fed followed him to the other side of the lake the next day. And they didn't understand that the bread of life that he was talking about was spiritual bread that leads to eternal life. And as believers, we receive our spiritual sustenance by feeding on his word daily and talking to him in prayer daily. Those who trust in Jesus shall not hunger. Their spiritual longing to know him will be satisfied. From Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. The second I am statement, John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as I shared earlier, I was walking in darkness, even though at the time I didn't realize my spiritual condition. I didn't understand my need for salvation and my need to have a deeper, more personal relationship with Jesus Christ. From John chapter 1, 4 through 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I found the light of life in Jesus, in God's Word. Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. The light of Jesus guides us on our path through life. And when we share that light of Jesus, we too can be a guiding light for others. The third I am saying of Jesus comes from John chapter 10, verse 7. And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." In the first five verses of this chapter, Jesus uses an illustration of a sheep pen, a gate that has a gatekeeper, and a shepherd who enters the pen to call out his sheep. It's only through that gate that we believers can enter the kingdom of God. The gatekeeper is the Holy Spirit. We are drawn into the kingdom, the sheep's pen, via the Spirit through the gate, which Jesus declares to be himself. Now, I combined these two I am statements, and I will have a further explanation in a moment here. Now down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And again in verse 14, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The appointed shepherds of Israel, those appointed by God, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that time, had failed to properly care for God's chosen people by drawing them away from knowledge, from the knowledge, and from the kingdom of the Messiah, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And he was sent by his Father in heaven to be Savior and King. From Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. My Savior, my King. He's our Savior and our King. So the reason I put these two I am statements together, Jesus is both the gate and the good shepherd. Moving on to the fourth I am statement from John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. 3 weeks ago, Holy Week began, and it was a season of hope that began with the triumphant entry of Jesus, the Messiah, into Jerusalem, followed by the despair of Christ's crucifixion later in the week, and then culminating in a renewed hope in Jesus' resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday. For those who believe, his death on the cross and resurrection reconciled us with God and brought us into a renewed fellowship with Him. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul warns about false teaching concerning the resurrection of the dead. He says that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ Himself has been raised. And if Christ has not been resurrected, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we as believers share in that resurrection. The fifth I Am statement, John 14:6. And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus offers comfort to his disciples and we believers in the verses leading up to this I Am statement. I'm going to read from John 14:1-4. John 14:1-4. Jesus comforts his disciples. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Earlier in the message, I spoke about looking back on my own life and seeing how the Holy Spirit was drawing me to Jesus and moving in my heart. That's hindsight. Here in John 14:1-4, we as believers have the benefit of hindsight, and we have the benefit of knowing New Testament scripture, so that when we are asked by Jesus, "Do you know the way?" If we truly believe, we can say, "Yes, Lord, you are the way to our salvation." And this I Am statement echoes Jesus' earlier claim of, "I am the gate." Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and eternal life in heaven. The sixth I Am statement, John 15:5. "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And this I Am statement, this is Jesus' invitation to us to have a personal relationship with him. I'm going to go a little further, John 15:7-14. John 15:7-14. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." I like the NIV translation of that passage because Jesus refers to us as his friends. He reminds us that there's no greater love than that love from the one who laid down his life for his friends. Having this personal relationship with Jesus has been vital to my own spiritual growth and well-being. Understanding that all of it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit through the life-giving shed blood of Jesus Christ. My Lord, my Savior. Amen, brother. Many years ago, I was asked, "Do you know Jesus?" Today, I ask that same question to you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that He loves you? That He died on the cross for your sins and was buried? And that on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, the Almighty. And there, He advocates for us. He intercedes on our behalf, bridging the gap between sinful humans and the one and only true holy God. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, please pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I want to know you better. And I ask, Lord, that you would come into my heart. Help me to make you the Lord of my life. Please give me the resolve to turn from my sin and turn to you. Amen. As Jason mentioned earlier, and I'll mention again, if this has been your prayer, you can know that you've been forgiven of your sins and that you've been saved. From Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that the words that I spoke this morning were true to your word, pleasing to your ears. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit moves in the hearts of those who heard this message. And I thank you, Lord, you told me through your word who you are and what you did for me. Help us all to share the message of the gospel with everyone that we may encounter as we go about our daily lives. Amen.